This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, thank you for joining us today on Startup to Success. My guest today is so special because she solved one of my biggest problems I've been dealing with for decades now. Jennifer West, who's the inventor of the patented Bestie adjustable blow dryer holder and the founder of Bestie Brands, as well as a professional hairstylist. I also have Mark, who's been, in this journey with Jennifer. Jennifer, if you don't mind introducing Mark really quickly so we can get this show started.
This is Mark Stolaroff. Mark Stolaroff is my very good friend of a long time. He also is a co-manager for me with Bestie Brands. He runs Amazon, as well as all the outreach for potential marketing publications and stuff like that.
Wow. I'm so excited to have you guys on the show for so many different reasons, not just the personal reason that you're going to be solving my biggest problem with my blow drying situation, which my daughter literally generally holds it now. No more of that. She's going to love you for this.
That is so cute. I could just imagine what that must look like. Yeah, so cute.
It's her standing there holding it and just, are you done yet? Are you done yet?
Like, oh my God.
So thank you for solving this huge problem. And I'm so excited to have you on the show because you are the ideal entrepreneur who really, you know, you created a solution for a problem that really exists. And I think this is what I love about entrepreneurship, that everything around us, that's amazing, that simplifies our lives, is created by people just like you. So I can't wait to dive into your journey and just learn how you had the idea and how you took it and patented. And please start.
Okay. Well, one more look.
I love it.
Bestie blow dryer holder, really quick. As you can see, it's a holder that holds your blow dryer. Sorry, I'm backwards here.
No,
so you can use both your hands to blow dry. And as you can, you can see my hair. So everybody uses these differently. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to start at the beginning. Okay. And the beginning is, I'm an only child. I grew up in Los Angeles. I was raised primarily by my grandmother, who was my best friend. She was my bestie. And she had a stroke, couldn't dry her own hair. So I started making things to give her some sense of independence. And the blow dryer holders that I was creating worked. And then I was kind of using them. My girlfriends were using them. And, you know, one day my grandmother was like, you know, maybe this is something you could do. So anyway, so moving on from there. Yeah, it always stayed with me. That was like the one thing that I was like, why are there no blow dryer holders? There's like a million blow dryers. They think it's a big deal if they come out with one in a new color, but there's like nothing to really help with this thing. So basically I took my concept idea and my very crude prototype, which I'd actually made out of like Play-Doh and wire and some other weird ass things, and took it to a designer and tracked down a designer, by the way. Designers, let me just first and foremost, okay, for anybody who wants to do anything, okay, please be very careful with the people that you go to for help, okay? Because everybody will come to you with their hand out.
Yep.
You know, oh, everybody wants your money. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But they're not going to, they'll either avoid guaranteeing anything. You know, please make sure you get a guarantee, get everything in writing, and really vet the people you work with, because the people will, unfortunately, they will just rob you blind. Yeah. So, okay. That being said, set that aside.
That's a good tip. Thank you.
Yes. And so important, so important. So then I found this great designer who came up with this actual design. Sorry, I keep showing you the box and it's backwards.
Seems normal to me. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
He came up with this design and he actually made it so that the parts could be manufactured Okay. Because the parts, in order to mass produce something, the parts have to be made in such a way that, that they can be assembled easily, that the shrinking process isn't going to warp or distort, the pieces. But anyway, so this designer was very good, and he was actually a toy designer out of San Francisco. Is it okay to mention his name?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. He's a very odd cat. I'm just going to preface that. Okay. Just if you reach out to him, be patient. His name is Jim Panzarella, and his company is called Cyber Pro Engineering, and he's out of San Francisco, California. And I tell you, this man is a genius, really, like just a genius. So good. His work is so good, but he is an odd cat. You know, deal very gently with him, because
all geniuses are cats.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I scared him, you know, and I was like, dude, I'm not trying to scare you.
But he got the product. He got the job done. That's all that matters.
Yes, he did. Right? And he got it done brilliantly. So then we ordered a prototype, and the prototype had to be hand machined at a, I believe it's ABS plastic. And the prototype was very expensive because it was hand machined. So it was like $1,800. But I'm telling you, when you hold your idea, when it has manifested itself to an actual item, I swear I'm tearing up right now just recalling the moment. I was just like, it melts your heart.
Baby, it's literally like giving birth to a human being. That's more complicated, I think.
Yes. And I actually made this phrase that that it says, like, bringing a product to market is like having a child in your womb. If you don't push now, you're going to end up with a 5-year-old in your belly.
I like that. That's
you got to keep going no matter what.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And you should point out, this isn't just something that holds your blow dryer. It's adjustable so that you can, you know, move it around to get it exactly where you want the hair dryer to be so that you can do different things. And when I met Jennifer, this is before the product was invented, but she was working on things. Her use for it personally wasn't so much to do the hairstyling. It takes a really long time to blow dry her hair.
Right.
And she would be like, she'd rig up the hair dryer and be just doing her makeup, you know? So it was blow drying her hair while she was doing other things. So she could multitask. She could do email on her phone. She could do her makeup. She could, you know, cause it takes a really long time to blow dry that hair. And so, and it was like, what are you doing with a hairdryer? And she'd kind of rig it up. She's like, I'm working on this idea that'll solve this particular problem, and I can then do this. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. Because I had dated women in my, you know, past. I had dated someone who had this unbelievably thick hair, and she would sit there for an hour and just hold a hairdryer to blow dry her hair. I'm like,
people's arms get tired.
When this came out, I like bought that instantly for her and sent it to her because I knew that she would really, you know, value that. So
amazing. That's amazing. I can't wait to hear how you got it patented, because I feel like patenting an idea to most people is the most challenging thing, where we're like, how do we start? Where do we begin? Do we need to search to make sure this doesn't already exist?
Yes, you do. And again, with my original warning, be careful who you deal with. Make sure you vet people.
Yeah.
The first thing I did was look for my product. Mm-hmm. Googled. Smart. Didn't really see it anywhere. Didn't see anything. Then I started looking for a lawyer, because I was going through USPTO, the patenting office, looking at things, and I just couldn't figure it out. It's so complicated. So what I did, and this can be different for anybody, okay, but I hired a patenting agent, okay, which is different from a patent lawyer. Patent lawyers are very expensive. A patenting agent is, I feel, just as efficient as a patent lawyer, especially if you get one that's very passionate. And again, very trustworthy. One that I found, unfortunately, is retired now, but he was also out of state, because I live in Los Angeles, California, and everything's expensive here. Yes. This guy was from Georgia, and he was like a tenth of the price, and he did a great job. So he did a patent search, And he came back with a few things, but he said, it looks like you're in the clear, like you're good to go. And so I was like, okay. So the very first thing I did was file something called a provisional patent. And you can do that yourself. Okay. But I had him do it. It was $150. Probably did it through LegalZoom. I don't know. But that establishes the date that you are claiming your idea. Okay. So now you get a timestamp. And then what that also gives you is it gives you 1 year to get yourself together and start filing that actual patent. Okay. And you could do a lot in a year. You really can. So yes. Yeah, so I did the patent search. I was good to go. I filed the provisional patent, gave me a timestamp for my idea. We went ahead and we started with the utility patent. Now the utility patent is the mother load of all patents. Okay. It is the one in design patents. They're good too, but for an item like this, it's actual, you know, going to function and do something. That's what you want to protect. Okay. And also how it does it. So I went with this patenting agent who was fantastic, and he filed the utility patent, and it took probably about almost 3 years to get the patent. And yes, we had to kind of fuss back and forth with USPTO. That's another thing too. When you go to file your patent, get in writing with the lawyer or agent that you are dealing with. Okay. Because USPTO always wants to kick back stuff. You know, they want to kick it back. Make sure you have in your agreement with your lawyer that they are going to manage those kickbacks without charging you additional fees.
Okay, good.
Okay, that is so important. And it's important for two reasons. Because for one, if the lawyer or the agent is really doing their job, that should be happening.
Right.
Okay, they should research that stuff. They should know. They should have seen that coming already.
Yeah.
And then two, if, you know, let's say they do miss something. Okay, fine, fair enough. But you've already paid for this process, and this is their job and their work, and they need to do that. So please get in writing that they will handle all these kickbacks for you, and be great to these people, because these patenting people are going to be your greatest ally and your best friend.
Now, did you start production at that point, or did you have to wait 3 years to start the production?
I waited. Well, while the patent was pending, see, I had some fancy idea that I was just going to license my bajillion dollar invention to like Conair or Helen of Troy or someone like that. And anyways, I was bothering them so much. Bothering Conair, bothering Helen of Troy. They were like, no, go away. I'm like, no, but I have this really good idea. And they were so sweet. You know, they would like entertain me for a second and then be like, no, we're sorry, go away. But very gently and very kind.
Why would they reject something like this? I mean,
I have no idea. I still don't know. So they were like, no. And so I was like, okay. And then I did have a conversation with the then vice president of Helen of Troy, who was a lovely man named Art August. And he told me, he said, look, he says, you know, I don't know if this is a good idea. I don't know if it's a bad idea.
This is a bald guy, right?
I think he was bald. I'm not sure.
Or we don't know. But
I'm not sure.
It's a man and he probably didn't have any hair. And he's like, I don't know if this works. I mean, who knows?
Right. You don't get to see these people. So he was like, why don't you go and sell 20,000 units and call me back? And I was just like, oh yeah, sure. All right. I'm in, you know, let's do this. And so I was like, okay, nobody wants my idea. None of these people who are in a position to take all this hard work and this lovely little item that I've created, and these people that sell hundreds of thousands of blow dryers every year, like they don't want it. Nobody cares. So I was like, all right, fine. I got on LinkedIn. I started like connecting with people who are manufacturers. And I was like, can someone hook me up with a manufacturer? Because I don't want to go to China.
No.
Everybody's telling me, oh, you have to go to China. I'm like, I don't want to go to China. I don't like to fly, and I don't like to fly for long hours. So anyway, so then one person responded to me, and it was this like kind of, you know, guy, and he didn't want to talk about manufacturing. He wanted to talk about fishing and like old cars and stuff. And I was like, I actually know about old cars. So, okay, let's talk. You know? and this guy like would call me like every morning at like 10 o'clock. And I'd be like, whatever, give him 10 minutes of my time. I'll drink some coffee. We'll catch up. And then just one day out of the blue, he's like, gosh, you know, you're so nice. He's like, I'm going to give you my manufacturer's email in China. Why don't you reach out to her and see if she can make your product? And I was like, dang, all right.
Wow.
And I did. And that's how I found my manufacturer in China.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, let me just mention this because this is my cautionary warning that's going to repeat itself through this entire podcast. Please carefully vet whoever you are dealing with. Because I literally jumped off a cliff with this manufacturer. Okay. Like she emailed me back and said, oh yes, I can make your product. Send me $8,000 for molds. No, first she said, send me your one and only prototype. And I was like, Oh my, she might as well have asked for my left arm.
Yeah.
But I sent it. And then she got back to me and was like, okay, yeah, I can make this. Wire me $8,000 to make the molds. You can't put it on a credit card. So I'm like, so I did. And then
You went with your gut.
I went with my gut. And you know what? And not to sound weird or anything, but at the time I lived in this most magical apartment. And the only way that I can describe it is every breath you took in this place, like was just like, so the potential was endless and the energy was so good. And I literally heard a voice say, just go with it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do that. And yeah. And she made the molds. And then she sent me a picture that I'd never seen molds. I had no idea what molds even looked like. And I was like, oh yeah, these are great. You know? And then sure. And she's like, well, the minimum order is 2000 units. So I was like, okay, great. So I ordered those and understand now I'm digging into my credit cards. Because this is getting very expensive and it's just me. So I did that. And then she said, all right, 2000 units are going to be landing in, I think it was 90 days or something like that. So I was like, all right. So I found a box designer to make a preliminary box designer. One of my clients is a web designer. He hooked me up with a website. I called my cousin who was selling like backpacks or survival gear on Amazon and was like, help. And he hooked me up with his friend who started the Amazon site. And it was just like, just work. And it just somehow, like, it just all came together. And then, that's how it happened. That's what happened.
That is so amazing. And speaking of intuition, I feel like a lot of times we have to tap into our intuition to make decisions because we have to make it so quickly.
Yes.
You don't have time to go and research and look at data or do reference checks and you just hope for the best. And I, it's not the best way, but it does. For me, it's always been the way.
Right.
It seems like that was the way for you as well, where you just went with your gut feeling.
It was. And, you know, at every time I had to make a decision that I knew was going to either cost me money or there was potential for failure in some way, I just had to look at it and just go, okay, if I'm wrong, can I live with it? And in these cases, the answer was yes. You know, for the molds, it's like, look, it's only money. I have a job. I can recover from this. And yeah, it just works. I mean, you do have to rely on your intuition in a lot of cases, because like you said, sometimes there is no time, and a lot of people will try to talk you out of things too. So you gotta kind of look out for that. You know, there are people that are well-meaning that just want to protect you, but then there's others that are frightened of your journey.
Right.
It scares them.
Because so. You're going to put the pressure on them to take action and do something with their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. A lot of people are like, no, I just want to be surrounded by people that are just like me doing absolutely nothing and just talking.
Yeah.
No,
Those people are fun too.
They are fun. We need those people. We can't all be leaders and entrepreneurs, right? Like right. then we'll be saturated with so much stuff out there and competition will be so crazy. Mark, I want to talk about Amazon a little bit. I know that, you know, obviously with COVID specifically, online sales have...
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3. SoCalArmenian.com.